Yes, 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 ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Paper Trails podcast hosted by your boys, Shamaki and Mohammed. And today, we've got absolute royalty here with us.
Oh, mate, you know, mate.
We've got the pioneers of the game, the first ever Somali boy band to grace the game, you know. But more than that, I think it was people that we definitely looked up to that are here with us, joining us in the studio. Yeah. We've got the Scope Boys. Slapper, we gotta have a
probably the greatest introduction we've ever had, to be honest.
No, absolutely. And you know what? It's a worthy one. It's a worthy one, because obviously, I remember before we even started, when Mo told me about starting the podcast, he was talking about, I think when you guys did a little thing, conflicting critics.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So he was like, oh, let's just do.
Was that all of you on it? Oh, it was a movie podcast review thing.
Yeah,
I remember I've seen it.
It was like, let's try switch it up, but basically do it on books, and then essentially that's where this whole bloody thing came about from, and now here we are, you know. But firstly, thank you guys for coming down.
Thank you for having us, bro.
Like,
it's an absolute pleasure to be here.
Yeah, no, it's been a long time coming.
100%.
Because I wanted to, obviously, around that, there was a time around 2016 where I was trying to get into YouTube, like, personally, and then I was trying to look around and see Somali creators, like someone that you can, you know, connect to more. I remember, because at the time it was like Casey Neistat, and he was like proper big at the time and stuff like that. So I remember obviously coming across you guys, coming across Momoso when he was doing it as well. Then there was like Sheko, and do you guys remember Kool Ayal?
Yeah.
Cool, yeah. Like all the, there was like what a network.
Yeah, bro.
It was like around that time where everything was kind of bustling and stuff like that. So for me, this feels very full circle, innit? So that's why I wanted to get that sentiments out the way before we start the episode. But for the audience kind of tuning in, we will definitely get into more about Scope, but today we kind of want to also talk about the importance of reading, and also as well as the importance of storytelling and how we can bring stories across and to, you know, express what we want to say, and obviously build the community through what we want to tell and how we want to tell it, of course, which you guys have been doing throughout the years. But let's try to get a bit into the background of you guys. So how did it kick off? Where did the inspiration come from to start Scope, and what is the other S in there?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I don't
know. What is the other S? You know, because before you guys gave some weird answers like, it's just this and that, and then sometimes you wouldn't even
switch
say
it up,
it. Yeah. So like, what is it? Or was it a fluke?
He said, is it a fluke, you know?
It's crazy. Before I get into that,
yeah,
I think, you know, as beautiful and as eloquent as Sharmaka's introduction was,
appreciate.
I think that was probably one of the nicest ways to say that these brothers are old.
Oh, you know what I
mean? He said, "Damn,
every my old road, you know what I mean? Pioneers, you know what I mean? Long time in the game."
I see you go from a young man to a old
man. Look at them, bro.
I like it.
You know, it's also really funny how, you know, from, you know, we didn't even wait 10 minutes. From the very first minute, you already want, you know what I mean, all the secrets, you know what I mean? All the trade secrets, all the trademarks, you know what I mean? You have to warm us up a little bit.
Nah.
Into the bedroom.
Listen, what is the secret? Listen, warm me up, you know what I mean? That's you all my life.
So you got your pan of chocolate, that's it, bro.
That's what I'm saying.
I've been eating it, you know what I
mean? And a chai latte. It's different stuff over
there. There's no shikansi, there's no.
You know what I mean, bro? You know what I mean?
What's going on?
Ease me into it, bro. Let me want to tell you, you know what I'm saying?
We fly you over and that's it.
You know, that's it, bro. Oh, man. He puts me up in this nice little studio. You know,
mate, that's it, bro.
It's subhanAllah. I think just to build on what you said, Sharmaki, as much as this might be a full circle moment for you, I think it's the same for us.
100%.
You know, for us now to be in a period of, you know, our journey where there is people like you now, you know, you guys who have now taken up the mantle for yourselves, you who have, you know, you've been around, and obviously we're all probably the same age, but you know, you've taken a mantle on yourselves, and however small our role has been in your own journeys, to see that for ourselves come to fruition is an indescribable feeling, genuinely speaking. And we're so proud of what you guys have accomplished,
100%,
and what you guys stand for, and the messaging that you put across. It's really rare, unfortunately, even now, at this time, for people from our kind of backgrounds to speak in the way you guys speak, to be effusive about the things that you are effusive about, and the passions you guys have, on the points that you guys discuss, is really, really cool to see. You know, Allahumma barik. Wow. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, increase you in barakah, improve you in the things that you're doing. And just like, you know, in what small capacity we've played, may you also have that kind of impact on the next generation of young men, you know, looking up to you and listening to you and realizing that, hey, listen, just because we're from the backgrounds we're from, we can also be into the things that we're into. We can also, you know, explore different aspects of ourselves. Whatever narrative we hear about ourselves isn't necessarily the only narrative that exists. So for us, wallahi, it's a genuine honor to be here. You know, when Fatah told me about this, and I think this might be our very first actual collaboration,
literally,
for at least for this year,
and
for 2023. But you know, as kind of this new approach that we're having, I think one thing that we found, this is our 10th year now, which is crazy to think about, you know. So 10 years in, the one thing that's been constant is that there is no constant. That we're constantly innovating, that we're constantly changing, that we're constantly readapting and finding new ways of doing this thing, new approaches. You know, we didn't start off just as a podcast. We had so many different iterations. We started off first, I think, as a website. Doing articles. And that was where we found our first inspiration. Where
was that back in 2014?
2014.
Listen, obviously we were probably 14 or 15. And we were older than that. One plus one in that, we were probably 13, 14. You know?
Something like that, yeah.
No, it was, I think, when we don't really collaborate with people. And we like to collaborate with people that we find inspiring, or we kind of see ourselves in. And when we were thinking about who we should collaborate with this year, you guys were at the top of that list.
Okay, wow.
Do you know what I mean? Like this year for us, 2024, we're trying to collaborate more with you know, content creators and innovators. So we were like, you know what? If we're gonna start it off, it has to be Inspire.
Appreciate it.
Because
what you guys are doing, honestly,
it's amazing, bro. Do you know what I mean? You guys. Sometimes I think imposter syndrome definitely plays a massive part in everything we do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's good to hear, like, or see the fruits of your labor. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's not easy, bro. Waking up Sunday morning. Do you know what I mean? Coming together and what's it called? Churning out content.
I was driving down at like 9:20 and I was bedding this guy down and I was like, I can't believe it. It's another day to be late. we turned up.
And the amazing thing is, that is us.
Do you
mean, that's how it is. Like, it was at 6:30 in the morning. I'm there trying to call Salman. I just about woke up myself. We were awake like 1:30, 2 a.m. Do you know what I mean? It's not easy to make content, and it's not easy to have a podcast, as easy as it is for people to have a narrative to say, like, men need to be banned from podcasting. Having a mic.
You know that? I've seen that Michael Jackson meme where he puts the gun down. The podcast mic.
Wallahi, it's not easy.
It's not.
You know what I mean? It's easy to pick up a mic, but to be consistent, it's definitely not easy. And one thing you get to realize over 10 years is you're definitely not going to be consistent.
Yeah.
The only thing that's consistent is the inconsistency.
Change.
The change.
Spars,
you know what I mean? And it's the reality of life. know what I mean? So you're going to have iterations, you're going to have changes, but how can you weather that storm?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? The better you can do that, the more adaptable you are to changes.
Yeah.
The longer you're going to be around.
Oh, absolutely. Especially because there is barely any instant gratification, especially from like a podcast that you run, you know what I mean? You're coming all the way here, you're recording this and that. And then, especially if you're starting out, you might not see the numbers that you want. Then you're thinking, is this even worth it? But then that's where you got to get past of looking beyond all of that. Mm. And then I think when you actually have a purpose and actually have a reason behind wanting to actually do it, that's what keeps you, you know what I mean, going through. And I watched the video you guys put out, it was like yesterday, no?
Yeah.
Where you guys obviously were sitting down very serious, yeah. You know what I mean, staring down the barrel of the camera. And but you guys had to have feels like you have a sense of purpose this year.
Oh,
yeah, 2024
sure.
You know,
sure. I think because we've had so many iterations, and like you said, sometimes you don't have that instant gratification, and we have had probably more downs than ups, because of many reasons, location, the jobs you're doing, studying, family, you know, circumstances. It's things are just constantly a curveball to what you're trying to do. Everyone has a vision, ambition, and a passion for things they want to do in life.
Yeah.
And the only thing that's been keeping us going is the why. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And that's what's constantly brought us back to do what we're doing. Because I think the first 4 years have been the most fun, but the most frustrating and probably the hardest bit, because you're trying to do something that has not been done and you're trying to convince people along the way. Do you know what I mean? And the easier thing for you guys is you guys are from London. And London is an urban city. Yeah. It's where in the UK change starts. So you will see innovators here. You will see whatever you're trying to do, that you'll find a group of people doing it. Birmingham, it's not like that.
Yeah. People are in the gutter in Birmingham. He was cooking houses. Yeah, I just want to say, listen, Birmingham is the absolute gut. There's only one road that everyone comes around and fights over food. Sorry, bro.
Imagine the cheek, guys.
He said Halston aren't people. That's crazy. That's ridiculous.
We don't have to say anything, bro. It's Halston, bro.
He took our humanity away.
I'm outside here, bro. We just go to Halston, bro. Listen, that's it, bro. It's done.
Nah, every time I pick up sharks, there's a police guy. Yo, our family.
Bro, you need to be escorted in and out of that
place. Click, as soon as you can.
100%.
Nah, I don't want to hear it. Not from Birmingham. Anywhere else, I'll hear it from.
Listen, if you're from Housden, guys, I'm joking.
Absolutely. They'll find where you live. They've got nothing to do. They'll find out where you live.
They will find out, bro. They'll
walk there just for the satisfaction.
But no, it's a very conservative city, Birmingham. And we're not used to change. We live in a bubble. Right. So when we were trying to do what we were doing, it was very difficult. And people didn't understand. So you get, obviously, the community not understanding. Your own family saying, what are you doing again?
Yeah.
And what are you talking about? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then you have community members dropping what's to your parents. Spreading.
Really?
Bro. It is mad. When we first started.
That's what they're saying.
Bro, what haven't they said? Said that during the game?
That's crazy, dude.
The thing is, especially being from London, this is a very foreign concept to you guys. But Birmingham and places like Birmingham, where the communities are small, everything is so insular. Everyone is in each other's business. So anytime anything happens, people are instantly talking about it, and you know what I mean, the it gets around so quickly, you know, especially when it comes to things that are different. It doesn't matter if the different is good or bad. That has no bearing on it. If it's khair, if it's not khair, it has no bearing on it. It's different. Yeah. It's outside the norm. People are going to talk about it. People are going to have opinions. And more often than not, you know, even if it's good, people have their biases, have their own opinions and so on and so forth. So I remember one time I get a call from my dad. And this is once... This is at the iteration where we've started our YouTube. We've just started, so I think we're maybe 2-3 videos in. Yeah, so we just started. But obviously, before we started YouTube, because it's such a big jump, you know, I cleared with my dad first, and I'm like, listen, dad, I'm doing this thing. I'm going to jump on YouTube. I'm going to be doing X, Y, Z. Yeah, listen, I'm completely cool with it. Great initiative, great idea. Mm. You know, you're trying to give back. You're trying to, no problem. Mm. So I'm out with the boys. I get cool. I'm, what, 19? 18, 19, something like that. I get a call from my dad.
Yeah.
And it's a serious tone. Where are you? Oh, already. Already the ha-ha vibes are gone.
Yeah.
Ah, I'm like, okay. Already I'm doing a quick run through the past 24 hours. What did I do? You know what I mean?
What did I do wrong?
that tone, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm like, dad, I'm just out. Come home now.
God damn. Come home now.
Because it's levels, isn't it? You know what I mean? Yeah. Usually it's depending on the severity, it's like, okay, I'll see you when you get home, man.
Come home now.
It's a different level. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, you stand someone.
You know what I mean? I'm this time, bro.
The police are at the door.
At this point, I'm saying 24 hours, not enough. 48 hours. What have I done? I'm running through. I'm thinking, it's heavy. Pulled out the piles. You know what I mean? I'm coming home. I'm telling you, bro, that trip back home is the longest trip of my life, bro.
Were you driving back then?
No. I'm there in a bus, bro. I have never in my life wanted a journey to be longer.
I wanted everyone to press the stop button.
Do you know what I mean? Listen, stop, do whatever. Yeah. Does the old lady need help? Listen, just slow the journey down. I get home, outside the door now. Bro, no exaggeration. I'm outside for about a minute. But what feels like a lifetime.
Yeah.
Shall I knock on the door? Shall I go in? Shall I go to my auntie's house? Shall I call my mom first?
Yeah.
I think, listen, the order this is long, bro. I'm delaying the process. Let me just go home, get out of the way.
Yeah, see the fear that African parents put
I can feel it, bro.
The PTSD, bro.
Right now,
my heart rate is accelerating right now.
That's what I'm saying. I'm hearing the belt from the other room.
The crack. That's tightening, do you know what I mean? The worst thing is, it's not my dad who opens the door. It's one of my siblings. Yeah. I wish it was my dad. Mm. So I can get it over there with there on the doorstep, you know what I mean? My sibling opens the door. He looks at me. He's like, "Yo, it's looking a bit long for you."
Big man, what did you do, man?
I'm like, "Where is he? He's in the living room." Oh, okay, cool. I go inside. My mom's inside, and my other siblings are inside. And he looks at everyone. Like, give me a minute. He wants time alone.
Yeah.
One-on-one time. It's not looking good for me. So I figured, all right, cool. So I sit in front of him now, and he looks at me, and he says, in that moment, again, seconds. We're talking seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Wallahi, my whole life, it's a flashback. Okay, 24 hours, 40 hours, not enough. Bro, go through the week. What have you done, big man? What did you do? So he's sitting in front of me, and he's like, what's this new thing that you're doing?
New
thing that I'm doing?
Yeah.
I'm starting. Dad,
can you repeat the question? Yeah.
Can you spell it? What's the spelling?
Put it in a sentence. You know?
Give me a sentence. I'm like, Dad, new thing. What do you? He said, someone told me that you're on the internet. Now, instead of fear, it's confusion.
Yeah.
So I'm like, because I'm just confused. I'm like, What do you mean internet? He said, I feel like you mentioned something about you being on the internet. Give me a specific breakdown of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay. So at this point now, I'm understanding a little bit. I'm like, Dad, do you mean like the videos I'm doing? He's like, yeah. Bro, the relief. The instant dopamine. The flush from my whole system, bro. I'm not going to lie to you. I could have just collapsed, bro. I'm there like, Alhamdulillah. Rabbil Alami.
So you got your exam results here.
Bro, you know numbers, bro. Oh my God. And I'm like, okay. But I was like, Dad, listen, I don't need to explain nothing to him. I break down everything to him. I show him the videos that we've done. And slowly but surely, the tension is leaving his body. Do you know what I mean? He's relaxing a little bit. And he looks at the most recent video, The most recent video had, the guests were women. So there were two women in our area. Two sisters, He's looking at it, It's a 25 minute video. He watches it from minute one to minute 25.
In front of you, right there.
We're sitting there, bro. But like, I'm comfortable. I edited the video. I'm comfortable. Yeah. I know there's nothing wrong with that video, bro. Yeah, yeah. I'm there looking at him, and then he's like, I really like how you did that. It was good. And now that he's calmed down and the stress is gone, I'm like, Dad, like, do you mind telling me, like, you know, what's going on?
Yeah.
What happened? He's like, you know, I was in the masjid, and a guy came up to me. And he said to me, he looked at me, he said to me, Abu Salman, do you know what your son is doing? And he's like, obviously I was a bit shocked, and I'm like, so what do you mean? And he said, he just looked at me and he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. And he walked away.
That's it, bro.
So obviously my dad is going, you know what I mean? Worst case scenario, he's like, what has this boy done?
Yeah.
Bro, if you know the anger that was in my body, bro, wallahi, wa billah. And my dad, you have to tell me who this man is.
Plot twist is it was Abdi Fattah.
I had to do it.
The only one that knew what was happening.
Literally. Bro, the anger I felt in my system. bro, I was like, bro, like, you have to tell me who this guy is.
Who is
this guy that's doing what's up? It's like, no, I'm not going to tell you. And that was, imagine, that was from the very beginning.
It's been like that
throughout the process. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, it's bro, the journey has not been easy, man.
Yeah.
And I think in innovation and when you're trying to do something new, especially in a community where everyone does the same thing.
Yeah.
It's difficult. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Because you're trying to convince people at the same time.
Yeah.
And even if you're, like, we don't really care about people's opinions, but if it's affecting your, like, own family are getting messages that is not true.
Yeah.
Then you're telling your parents, like, no, that's not what we're doing.
Yeah. But I could obviously have a toll on you guys. Do you know what I mean?
It can, but for more importantly, it's just, it's annoying, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you're trying to do it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then, obviously, when you speak to your parents, they were like, you know what? The vision is great. Your why is important.
Yeah.
Keep going. But then the community are like, oh, but like YouTube, internet. Yeah. What are these
what's
kids
all doing? This
what,
stuff?
What's
yeah.
going on, man?
Yeah.
They should be focused on their education and XYZ. You know what I mean? And it's, imagine now, 10 years in, how many people are on the internet?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? How many people are doing like things that for us at that time was like, it felt like a dream.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? New land.
Wallahi, like it was new territory. And now it's like, what, YouTuber is normal? People are on TikTok.
Yeah.
People are making content, like, it's normal, bro. Yeah,
that's crazy. You know, I was actually reading up on it. There's obviously genius, which comes from someone that's just like, it seems like they just came up with this thing that came out of nowhere, but all of that comes from like a scene, which they call like a senius. And then it's like, it's interesting in the sense that every scene that you kind of see now kind of pop up is like, at the beginning, there were people in there that would come together and no one knew what the hell was going on. Mm-hmm. And then, but then obviously through their perseverance, slowly comes like an offshoot of like different people that are slowly joining that scene. And it's always good to know that, because that's a good telltale sign that you guys are also at the forefront of this kind of, I want to say a new revolution in the YouTube thing. I think maybe for our community, it was kind of a new kind of front, starting it in that period and doing it kind of like the way you did, because like I said, I'm from London and then I was seeing what you guys were doing and then I was like, oh yo, this is an avenue that you can take. So it's always interesting, I think you guys also said in the beginning, to see the fruits of your label in a certain kind of way. So now you kind of know where you guys ended up in 10 years time. Was there moments in that beginning part that you guys were like, listen, Salman, I don't know if this is worthy, if we should continue doing this or should we just give up? Or was it always like you guys were like, nah, we have to keep going?
No, there was never a moment where we thought, is this worth it? Because our why, we knew what our why was. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And it was to change the narrative make a difference and have an impact on your community. Do you know what I mean? Talk about issues that are important to us and not beg or ask for the mantle from the older generation. Like, why do we need to seek validation from the older generation to talk about issues that that we are affected by?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So for us, it was like, nah, like, we need to do this.
Yeah.
How? Yeah. We can talk about the how and strategy and what works, what doesn't work. So that's why we've gone through iterations. We started off as a website. Then we did podcasting without video.
Yeah.
Then we moved on to YouTube.
Yeah.
And then within YouTube, we had iterations. And maybe for us, our biggest downfall is we constantly innovate. We constantly try to do the next thing.
Yeah.
And we're never consistent enough. And obviously, that's multifactorial. Like, there's so many things affecting that. But sometimes it's good to just stick with something and just let it play out.
Yeah,
but we never do that. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, like, we didn't have a moment where we thought, you know what, should we continue this or not?
Yeah.
It was more of how are we going to do this? Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like, if it's not this, it will be something else.
Yeah.
But we need to do this, because if we don't, then we're kind of adding to the problem, where we have this hush culture. Mm. There's so many issues in our community and we're all trying to be blind to it. Do you know what I mean?
Like, who's going to be speaking for us if we're not the one speaking?
Do you know what I mean? And we're part of that generation where we are the mediators between the older generation and the ones coming up, our younger siblings.
Yeah.
So if we're not doing it, who's going to do it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So for us, it was like, listen, we have to do it, because if we're close in terms of mindset, in terms of ambition, all of this stuff, we're very close to our parents.
Yeah.
Because they have passed down everything to us.
Yeah.
But it's our duty and job to pass it down to the younger generation. And that's why in a household, the older children and the younger ones are completely different.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But it's our, to an extent, our responsibility to be able to, because we have gone through the system. We were the guinea pigs. I remember there was a period where my parents would call around and be like, GCSEs, like, so what GCSE should my kid pick? Do you know what I mean? Like, what subjects, what A levels should they pick? Yeah. And the whole discussion about A levels and BTEC.
Yeah, blah, blah. Yeah.
For us, all of that stuff was just trial and error.
Yeah. You guys were going through it, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And this younger generation, they know what they want to do or don't want to do.
Yeah.
They know what path they want to take. They've got millions of people to ask.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a different reality.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean? Completely different. I wanted to kind of also get into the conception of scope. Obviously, I see you guys very eloquently went by around the other S, so it's fine. But who was like the first one, or like how did the boy band start?
How did the boy band start? So a lot of it ties into the things that Fatah has already said about the why. So I think what really united us was the why. And I remember, I think the probably informal genesis point was, so Fatah at one point was studying up north. And I remember going up to see him. And that's where he met the other two brothers, Musa and Yasin.
You were in Manchester then?
No, Bradford.
Bradford, okay.
Yeah. And they had this tradition where I think over the weekend or on Fridays, they would go after football, they'd go down to the basement. And so the house had a basement. So they'd go down to the basement and it would be about 10, 12 guys deep. And they, you know, people would just be talking and debating to the kind of wee hours of the night. And we'd talk about everything. And I remember at one point us talking about a topic that at the time didn't really feel like the kind of thing that guys at uni would be talking about. It's such a distinct memory for that. I remember talking about has chivalry died and what killed it?
I don't know how we got there.
And I don't even remember how we got there. I genuinely don't, but I just remember that the flow of the conversation was such that we got to that point. And then we started to talk about a lot of different topics. And it was such a cross-section of opinions and perspectives. And And I remember us having a moment of thinking, you know, these conversations are important, especially as young men, to talk about these kind of topics. And a lot of the other topics that came from that, it's important because there's not a lot of spaces where young men from our background can really engage critically on topics and on ideas and really kind of have the space where you can foment these ideas and really have that back and forth, which is incredibly important to your development and to your critical thinking capabilities and to formulating your own ideas and perceptions and your role in society and all the rest of it. So that was a real genesis point for us. Yeah. And then I think the real starting point was there was a moment when me and Fatah were talking and you know, we're just complaining, alaling about the situation that we're in and how there were so many issues, as Fatah said, in the community. No one was talking about it, you know, as is typical in both our cultures. I'm Eritrean, obviously Fatah is Somali. There's a real tradition of just kind of brushing whatever ahib is going on under the carpet and just pretending it's not there, you know. And we're seeing so much of that happening. And the point that we kept coming back to was, oh, you know, why is no one talking about this? Or why is no one dealing with this? And we had a real moment where we realized there is no one to talk about this. You know, so there is a real gap between, there was the elders, you know, our father's generation, and then there was us and there's those younger than us. At the time, we felt we were too young to do anything.
Yeah.
But then we realized, regardless of whether, you know, regardless of what we felt, there was no one else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There really was no one else. So that was a real point where we were like, okay, maybe we have to do something. So I think that was a real starting point for us that, okay, you know, the idea came from that. Mm-hmm. We have to do something because there's no one else.
Yeah.
So it came from a place of need, at least from my perspective. We felt there was a real need and there was a real lack in the community. Mm-hmm. So that was a starting point from there. And that was a connection with up north because Fatah was there and he got to meet the brothers from there.
Yeah.
And at that time, obviously, our why just aligned, you know, different ethnic backgrounds, different, you know, backgrounds in terms of being from here and up north. But that why connected us.
Yeah.
It connected us, it brought us together. And that's, I think, where the start point was for us.
From there on, when you guys were kicking off, and then when did you guys feel like, okay, this is actually, something's actually happening here, like we were kind of building a community, or when things started looking, I would guess, upwards for you guys?
I think from day one we thought we were onto something, because it's not about the movement or what you're trying to do, it's about the message.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And because it was about the message, our aim was to facilitate that conversation.
Yeah.
It was never about what happens when you bring people together or what you, once you've created a video. We didn't care about that. Okay. Our aim was, there's a taboo topic. We need to speak about it. And once you speak about it, then people can talk about it.
Yeah.
And you've planted that seed. Do you know what I mean? And whether it was the increase in divorce rates or people going to prison or crime or whatever it was at the time, we were like, listen, no, we don't care if it's
about it,
we're going to talk about it. And that's how it started. So it was, to be honest, it was impossible to fail, because all you need to do is get a topic, speak about it, and then that's it.
That's it,
You've started that conversation. So for us, it was, at the start, obviously, it was an article, then podcast, then YouTube. But every time we just did what we needed to do and
just put it out there.
Yeah.
Now, because obviously I understand, and I think that's probably the best metric to have in terms of you guys progressing or the success is by you guys actually doing what you needed to do. I was just saying more because there was times where, you know, where people from, like, I think Sweden as well, were asking you guys to come out and like their uni and stuff like that. And obviously now you've got to a point where you can host community events, and you guys did one, was it in October? Did my research. So like what I'm saying is, so on more of a metric standpoint, when did you guys feel like, okay, wow, there's people that actually want us to come to the university abroad, this is actually, something's cooking here? Because obviously it was cooking from the beginning, because the concept, you can't floor it. But in terms of like actually tangible stuff of like people want you out.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. So as Fatah said, because of the nature of the concept, it was almost impossible to fail. And we found that to be the case almost immediately. So, you know, as Fatah mentioned, we had different iterations. We started off as a website, as a blog site, where we were doing articles. And then from that, we jumped to SoundCloud, where we did an audio podcast. And then we went to YouTube, where we did kind of the video podcast and other kind of videos.
Yeah.
We didn't venture too far from that, but it was mostly video podcasts. So at every stage, we had that experience of having certain metrics that that indicated movement.
Yeah.
They indicated, you know, that this thing had legs, know, that there was a real demand for it. And I think there were key moments at each iteration. So I remember when we were doing articles, there was one article that really went viral. And it was a fantastic article. He did one about, what was the topic again?
The increase in divorce rates among young Muslims.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then a key passage in that was, you know, the fact that people are getting ready for marriage, for weddings, but not for marriages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I remember people were telling us that people were having debates about this article in places you don't expect people to have debates about articles.
Yeah.
Amongst people you don't expect to be reading these kind of articles.
Yeah.
You know, people were telling us people were having these debates in shisha bars.
Yeah.
You know, you know, people who don't traditionally read or kind of go for these kind of topics or were reading and having really rigorous kind of engagements and debates. When we moved to SoundCloud, I remember there was a moment where one of our listeners messaged in and told us that they were listening. There was a group of them in a car. They were in Canada, British Columbia, I think it was.
Vancouver.
Vancouver, yeah. So there was a group of them in a car and they were listening to one of our episodes and they were driving down and it got to a specific part of the episode and they were so kind of, I don't know, incensed or engaged by the topic, they had to pull over, pause, and debate.
Yeah.
So they were, like it was so, and that was again, that was a moment we were like, "That's crazy." What are you thinking about? You know?
Yeah.
And you know,
it's like, "Give me a second.
Hold on, what did he say?"
That wasn't even the driver.
And,
you know,
and then with video again, with video, I remember there was. Someone snapped us a picture of them in America, in a lecture, university lecture. They were at the back with their laptop open, watching one of our videos during the lecture. You know, again, that was a moment like, wow, like something here is resonating.
Yeah.
And then on the purely analytical side, you know, there were periods where we were getting a lot of unique sites visits on our. On our blog, our SoundCloud was doing pretty decent. But I think the real moment where we saw a real jump in analytics was on YouTube. Mm. We came in at really a golden era, I think, of YouTube at that time. That was a period where I think Casey Neistat was doing his daily vlogs. He was halfway in. I think he did about 800, I think. But he was halfway in. He was really beginning to gain steam. You have people like Ben Brown, Jack Scout, Fun for Louis. All these people were really at the beginning of their rise. So we were at a golden era. And you know, obviously looking back now, if we stuck it through. But so at that time, you know, on average, we were getting like 50, 60, 70K views on videos. And that began to become the norm for us. So we started to, that's kind of became normal for us. But again, you know, as Fatah said, one of the biggest challenges when it comes to these kind of things, as I'm sure you appreciate, is consistency.
Yeah.
And when you take into account that this isn't, especially back then, this wasn't something you could half-ass. Mm-hmm. This wasn't something that you could do as a hobby.
Yeah.
You had to go all in.
Things were a lot more difficult in terms way of more production difficult. As well.
Yeah. Everything. It was way more difficult. And you see everyone else who was doing that, who was in that scene, was doing it full time. We're able to just, for whatever reason, to
force everything else.
And focus on that 100%. Mm-hmm. And obviously the you know, the fruits of that, you know, bore. But for us, obviously, coming from the backgrounds we came from, the you know, the expectations on us, the pressures on us, this had to be a side thing.
Yeah.
We couldn't. We didn't have the foundation. We didn't have the support network. We didn't have anything. So obviously, our careers or our educational journeys was always going to be the priority. It had to be. Understandably. So that always took a back step to that. And and you take into account the fact, you know, the distance between us. So there were always logistical and operational challenges that didn't allow us to really actualize the vision in the way we wanted.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is the first time since our journey that we've really all been in the same space at the same time, with the ability to really give it the time and the energy it requires. Yeah. And you know, that
and the money.
Yeah, and the money. And the money.
And because, whoa.
You know, the funny thing is,
expensive back in the day.
Yeah, 100%. Like, for that whole journey,
yeah,
it was effectively self-funded.
Yeah.
You know, it was out of pocket, you know. It rarely, there was a very small period, a very small window where this thing funded itself. But for, we're talking over 90% of this journey, it was self-funded. It's out of our own pockets.
Yeah.
Our events, our videos, our equipment, our everything was self-funded. And it was only later on that we started to kind of charge for our events or for our appearances. Yeah. So the majority of this journey has been self-funded. It's been out of pocket. So whilst the metrics indicated that this thing had energy and that there was an engaged community, we didn't actually at any point really have the finances to kind of back it. So so if it genuinely, if it wasn't for the why, we wouldn't have been here for as long as we have.
100%. And wallahi, there was a, our biggest probably debate between us used to be charging people and money. Because our why was never about money. So it felt wrong to charge people to come to our events or to you know, watch our stuff or whatever. But I remember we had a moment where I can't remember who said it to us, but someone sat us down and said, listen, you guys are doing this as a side hobby. This is a passion project. You guys have families, you have careers that you need to do, and all of these stuff. And we thought, okay. They were like, listen, you have to charge. Listen, you're putting time, effort, money, blood, sweat, everything, tears into it. So why aren't you charging people? Like, if they're coming to your events, no, they need to pay for it, because you are taking time off your day.
Putting everything
been, to do this. And that for us was a light bulb moment, because we had no intention of charging people for our events, because for us it was about, you know, starting the conversation and making a difference and all of this stuff, which you can still do. But, you know, people, I remember someone said that people pay a lot of money for grabbing a cup of coffee or whatever else they want to do in life.
Literally.
So why not, if they're trying to come to your event because they're benefiting regardless, they should pay for it. And for us, that was a moment where we thought, actually, 100%.
It's funny because, like, money is like one of the most uncomfortable conversations we can have, like, as a community, as a whole. All of us, like, growing up, probably struggled with like, having that conversation. Like, to this day, like, when I speak to my parents about, like, oh, how's things going, all that, they still, like, be around the bushes a bit, and I've got to really, like, dig in there, like, and, like, especially as creatives, people putting content out, that, like you said, that's always been something that, like, how do you manage money,
time, energy,
and, like, that is a very important topic. So, like, that taboo that you guys were avoiding is a funny thing, because you had to address it eventually.
Imagine at that time when we were starting, and probably the bigger issue for us was, I'm not sure about you guys, We are the eldest in our family. So it makes it even worse, because if you're like a middle child or the youngest, it's fine. There's not as much responsibility, you know what I mean? But for us, it's like, listen, there's family you need to take care of. There's things that needs to be done. So you're spending all your time on this? All right, so how much money do you guys get from this? And it's like, you know, that's not how it works. And YouTube. And there were people telling our parents, oh, YouTube, there's a lot of money in it. And your kids are making, like, these kids are making money now. So parents, my dad, like, is thinking, we're eating. And I'm telling them, and we're like, no, that's not how it works. And the algorithm and this and that. It's like, so you guys are doing this for free? Why are you putting so much time into this then? Now, if it's not, if you're not getting monetary gains, you could focus on things that are more important. Yeah, it's good to have effect on the community and make a difference and have an impact, but we need to eat, man.
We're trying to get out of Birmingham.
You know what I mean? 100%. We're trying to get out of the UK, bro. So 100%.
You know, because the sharks have been asking multiple questions, so I'll just chip in real quick. So, like, one thing that's nice about it, like, from the perspective of the listeners, I think, like, the butterfly effect that you can have from just putting anything out, even if it was one episode, like, for example, the what's it called, critics thing. What was it called?
Conflicting critics.
Like, there was only like 3 episodes of that, if I remember. But yeah. I was at that point, I was consuming a lot of content around like the videos you guys were putting out. Like, Musa was putting out a lot of videos as well. So then, like, us a lot, we were like, back in the day, how we started, it wasn't even to do anything with it. Like, so we were doing like skits in it, like, but we never, yeah. funny enough, we never put them out in it. So like, okay. yeah, we just recorded bare skits. Like, we just come to my sister's house, like I'm telling my sister, yo, like, meet your house free today. Yeah. yeah, we'll come to my sister's house. That's where we actually started this podcast, like in her living room. Yeah, so then we were like, we'll go there, record skits, we bought all the lights, cameras, all that stuff, yeah. And then, yeah, I think I was just listening to that podcast, and then I was like, yo, like, maybe we could start something about books, and both of us want to get back into writing. Back in the day, we were really interested in writing and stuff, right? And like, both of us wanted to publish at some point in our future, innit? So like, we were, yeah, just thinking about how we do it. And then I heard the film review podcast, and I was like, yo, like, that's the easy way in. Like, there's an unlimited supply of books that you can always, like, just make an episode where you're just talking about one book and then the themes around it. And then I was just thinking about that, like, every single conversation that you guys have had that maybe I've heard or anyone else has heard that has got them thinking about things, how much of a change in their life that could have made. Because, like, just them thinking critically about some things might have turned a switch. Like, for me, for example, at that point, I was deciding whether to go to uni or do an apprenticeship or whatever. I was already in uni, actually, I think. I was doing physiotherapy, which is complete opposite of what I'm doing now.
Okay.
I work in IT now, so yeah, I'm sitting down a lot more than I was back then. But
intending even.
Yeah, but what do you call it? That actually like made me like question why I was in uni. Like, I actually started having those conversations with my parents. Like, yo, I'm not trying to do this, innit? Like, oh, I dropped out before I told them that anyway. But I started thinking for myself a bit more and started to challenge myself and the views of the people that have that kind of put that narrative into my head, like, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do. And like that butterfly effect for me is quite profound when you think about it. And then just imagine, even if there's 10 other people and what they could have done with their families and stuff like that. That's why I think there's a lot of value in what both of us have done as groups, I would say. So like, even if the views aren't as high as they once were, you know, I think like you can probably say you confidently like changed a lot of people's lives, you know.
And the other thing is about views, and maybe halfway through we had to maybe shift our perspective on it. When you go from like maybe 60,000-70,000 views and you're doing 5,000-3,000 whatever, you realize, I remember we had this conversation, and you know, 3,000 is a lot of people. You couldn't fit 3,000 in your living room.
Yeah,
you couldn't fit 200 people in your living room. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes we get this skewed vision or impression of like what views actually are.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Because forget that it's actual people.
These are actual people that are watching your stuff.
Individual people that have clicked on it. Yeah,
wallahi. So like we started looking into making stuff that are meaningful, impactful, that we are proud of. And if 200 people watch it, that's 200 people that you're touching,
yeah.
right? Rather than just caring about views, because you know, views is dangerous.
It's dangerous. That's that can stall you,
bro.
You know, that can lead to that little fear and that thing. We were reading a book about productivity, and one of the stuff that kind of stops people is like fear. So like, especially that, if you're looking at the numbers, you're like, that's not.
What's the point?
Then it leads to procrastination. I'll come back for it, and then comes the inconsistency. Yeah. You know what I mean, all over again. Yeah.
And you don't, one thing we've realized, first, chasing views is dangerous because you have to do things sometimes you don't want to do.
Yeah.
Just for views.
So your bodies, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And second thing is, at what point are you going to, if you're chasing that like view count, at what point are you going to make things that you're actually proud of?
Yeah.
And because internet is a dangerous place.
Oh yeah.
You have to put out work that you're proud of. And you can watch back in 20 years, 30 years time, and still be okay with it.
No, absolutely.
Do you mean?
Yeah, I kind of wanted to also not essentially wrap it up, but like I kind of wanted to build the conclusion with kind of also on the topic of you guys and your last videos. essentially, obviously, this episode was meant to be about the importance of like books, but I feel like the essence of books is obviously storytelling. And I think that's what we both are. We're both storytellers. And you guys have story, you can see it panning across from your first video to like you, to how you guys are now, especially how you were saying in the before the podcast that you guys have grown with the podcast now. I wanted to kind of touch up on that because I know in the video you guys were talking about how now you guys wanted to tell your, you know, your stories and stuff that matter to you now. Moving forward, what was it this year that you guys want to try and convey to your audiences?
That's a great question.
I think before we get into that, like what does a sort of a great story mean to you?
Some two completely different questions.
No, because then it will kind of lead into into that one.
I'll try to connect the two.
Yeah,
I'll try. Okay, let's start with what's different this year for us.
Mm.
As we've kind of mentioned, you know, this is our 10th year.
Yeah.
And it's also the year, subhanAllah, timing is an incredible thing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's timing is the best of timing.
Yeah.
This year, our 10th year, also happens to be the year, I think, where everything has kind of aligned in such a way where we're probably in the best place or best placed to really go all out on the vision in a way we haven't been able to do over the past 9 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Fatah mentioned that we have had different iterations at different periods in our journey. Yeah. And whilst at every point, I think we've been able to accomplish something, there've been moments where we've tapped into something visceral within the community or within ourselves. We've never really been able to fully actualize our vision. And to your point, at our core, I think, we identified how we can bring value or how we can, in our own small way, contribute or leave a mark. And that for us was through storytelling.
Yeah,
we saw the incredibly impactful and the resonance that storytelling can bring.
Mm.
And I think the thing that connected us the most, as I said, we were very avid consumers of YouTube during that time.
Yeah.
You know, it really was a golden era of YouTube for me. Yeah. I mean, not to take anything away from YouTube now, but especially during that time, it was an incredible era for content creation and storytelling, you know. And what was really cool, and we mentioned this, but what was really cool about that era was that even the most kind of average day in the life, or the most average of content, was incredibly enthralling and compelling because of how they crafted the narrative.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be videos where, I don't know, Ben Brown or Jack Scab,
they're just vlogging their day.
They're just vlogging their day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But because of how they crafted that story, how they edited it, and there was a real narrative arc through that day that really grabbed you, you know. And we realized the power of storytelling. Mm. We realized the power of content creation. So obviously storytelling comes in many different forms. Mm. For us, that was the thread that connected everything we did up until that point.
Yeah.
And then we reached a point where we realized, or we came to the conclusion that for us, the most impactful way to tell a story was through the visual medium.
Mm.
Because there's something about being able to put across a story in a visual format in a very short period of time that can convey a message in a way that very few things can.
Yeah.
Because a book can do it deeper.
Mm.
A video can do it shorter and more viscerally.
Yeah.
In a very tight time frame. Where a book, it would take 300-400 pages.
Yeah.
You can do the same in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm. And we've had constant experiences where that's been true for us, whether it's been through the content creators we used to consume, whether it's been through videos of our own that have had that impact, or other content that we've consumed. I remember seeing this one video. There was this one girl from America. She went to Sudan. And in Sudan, a lot of people might not know, but it has the largest concentration of Eritrean refugees in the world.
Okay.
And it's one of the kind of worst humanitarian refugee issues in the world that's not really known about.
Yeah.
Over 200,000 Eritrean refugees. So she went from America to the refugee camps there, and she just showed, you know, what's going on the ground through her lens as an American Eritrean. It's about 20-30 minute video. It was viewed in London in one of the, I think, UCL, about 200 capacity university theater. The majority of them were young Eritreans under the age of 30. And the impact that that video had on the people in that room, nothing could have compared to that. Mm-hmm. No event, no book, no a story, no lecture, nothing could have compared to that visceral impact that
actually
that video
seeing,
did. Seeing it and going through that story with her, through her lens, and it almost puts you in that place. And that's a power story. I saw 16-year-old kids get up with such energy and passion saying, what can I do? Mm. How can I help? And by the way, these are people who, they know the situation. They've heard of the story. This is not the first time that they're hearing about that story. This is not the first time that they're hearing about the situation. But it's the first time experiencing it that way.
Yeah.
And I think that radicalizes us, you know, these experiences. And I think tying, hopefully, in some loose way to your point about, your question about, you know, what is a story? I think for us, that's what a story is.
Mm.
The impact you can have.
Yeah.
Your ability to send a message, your ability to connect to someone
that
you've never met, that you probably will never meet.
Yeah.
But this story, through this lens, can connect us in a way that nothing else can, even if we've never met.
Creating a big narrative, like a bridge between so many different people to say, hey, look what's 100%. Actually happening here. Yeah. No, that's I think, obviously, that's why stories have lived. That's why we tell stories every day.
Literally.
Do you know what I mean? It's to be like, oh, even if it's a small, like, look what happened today. And then you go on, you try and connect something like that. So I feel like, obviously, I'm all here for it. I'll be honest, I'm happy that you guys are now, and I can see in your eyes, you know what I mean, just staring right at me, that this is, there's a fire in there, that inshallah this year that you guys are proper going after it. You want to ask anything?
Not
to just put on the spot.
I've got loads of questions and stuff, but I mean, you've asked the essence of the questions that I think we're going to ask in this episode. So considering time, I think we've got to close it off here.
Listen, I just wanted to say, honestly, you guys, like I said, we're saying the word pioneer, it's not an age thing. It's not. A pioneer is because, like I said, to bring it back into
you're an Aldino, not Neymar.
To put it in the seniors context, it's like you guys were the first Somali scene, I would say, in the UK that kind of was doing this thing that made a lot of other people be like, okay, cool, if they're doing this, then, you know, maybe we can start on a different kind of offshoot. And I feel like the impact that you guys have is still prevalent today. Obviously, still being able to do things for the community, bringing in people of like different backgrounds that have reached a certain point, bringing them in to have to discuss and have panels and stuff like that. Like, no one is really doing that for us. And if they are doing it for us, it's kind of in like a different kind of way. It's not really an authentic thing of like, oh, listen, this is how we're going to help you guys out, and this is the kind of thing, that event that we want to try and do. So the fact that you guys are doing this, and off of the back of your own selves, you know what I mean, no extra crazy funding or anything like that, that's the real why, and that's the real story that you guys are, obviously, this is your character arc, and this is your story, and I can't wait to see how it ends, inshallah. And obviously,
ends good.
No,
it continues.
No. I mean, I said the story, so I wanted to wrap up the story with an end. You know what I mean? But in terms of like in the future, seeing where you guys go, and honestly, from the bottom of my heart, this is a massive pleasure having you guys on.
Loved being here.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Jazakallah khair for having us. And it's an absolute pleasure to even be here, because there's certain episodes that don't even feel like work.
Mm.
It's more of a catch up. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So this was easy, bro. And I think it was a long time coming.
Yeah.
But everything has its time.
Yeah, of course.
Do you know what I mean? So, wallahi, jazakallah khair for having us.
Yeah, anytime, brother.
This has been absolutely incredible. Allahumma barik. And you guys keep doing what you're doing because, you will have days where you're thinking, hold up, man, why am I doing this?
Wow, yeah,
do you know what I mean? And you will definitely have that. Sometimes one of you will have the drive and you're literally dragging the other person or the rest of the group, saying, come on, man, we need to do this. We had a vision. What's going on, man? Like, wake up.
Yeah.
And then vice versa, like a few months down the line, zero energy, burnout.
It's the nice thing about being in a group.
Yeah.
So there's pitfalls and there's some issues that could occur. But yeah, I think for the most part, it's nice. It was like, even like this morning, I was like, yo, this guy, if he's late, I'm going to have to just go do it myself, innit?
But it's having that ability to
exactly. Yeah.
It's a thing. But no, yeah, like I said, thank you guys very much for coming on. We've been your boys from Aspire Entertainment, Aspire UK, the Prayer Patrols podcast, and we'll see you guys in the next one.
Thanks for listening.
Keep moving, keep growing, keep learning. See you at work.